listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Podcasters of S.H.I.E.L.D., Cinema Geekly's Marvel podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we are back to talk about more Agatha All Along on Disney Plus, episodes 5 and 6. And just like that, we are caught back up with the show. And what a couple of episodes. The first four were a lot of fun, but I feel like they've done their best work in episodes 5 and 6. Particularly episode 5, I think episode 5 might be my favorite episode of the show thus far. Episode 6, when we get to it, does a lot of backstory explanation stuff that was also wrapped in a very fun episode. But yeah, there's a lot to talk about. And let's dive into it, shall we, with episode 5, Darkest Hour, Wake Thy Power. The Salem Seven have finally caught up. It took them 4 hours because they, again, one big burst of speed and then very slow. But it took them a while, but they have finally caught up to the coven on the road, who evades them using makeshift flying broomsticks. After being pulled back down by the road, they enter the next trial, which takes the form of a cabin with a 1980s aesthetic. The group uses a Ouija board and makes contact with Agatha's mother, Evanora, who is killed by her daughter all the way back in 1693, along with her previous coven, revealed to be the mothers of the Seven. So that explains who the Salem Seven are. They are the kids of the coven that Agatha killed.
Yep.
Warning the coven to leave Agatha behind, Evanora possesses her and attacks the group. Alice uses her powers to expel Evanora from Agatha, who proceeds to absorb her magic. Teen, noticing another spirit's presence, stops Agatha by shouting its name, Agatha's son, Nicholas Scratch. But Alice dies. Agatha insists that it was accidental, but Teen lashes out at her, as well as Lilia and Jen, who affirm that their goals are essentially the same as Agatha's, to get their power. The latter mocks Teen by stating that he is just like his mother. Angered, he magically forces Lilia and Jen to toss Agatha into a mud trap, then blasts them in as well. As the witches sink, a similar headwear appears to the Scarlet Witch's on Teen's head. And also they end with like a really great Billie Eilish song. But that's the end of episode 5. What did you think of that episode, Aurora?
This was awesome.
Right?
There was a song. Before we talk about the episode, I have to say, I've been meaning to say this before. The credits of this show are one of my favorite credits.
They're so
in any
fun.
Show ever. Every time credits come up, I shut everything off except for this show. Yeah. I watch all the credits just to listen to the music and see it. So
it's a great,
even the credits are good.
It's a great title sequence, and they usually have really good music also at the end.
Yes. Oh my gosh, where to start?
Yeah.
There's so many things to talk about in this episode.
Yeah, I was just having fun with the 80s. Like, it almost had like a Friday the 13th, like...
It had like a campy horror movie vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I love
loved everything around the scene of Agatha being possessed. Mm-hmm. That was creepy and kind of funny at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Loved all of it. I do have... So, like I've said before, I don't know anything about the comics.
Yeah.
But I did read that there's a theory that Rio is not Rio.
Okay. I feel like maybe I've heard something about that, but it isn't ringing a bell, so I'm not sure.
So I read this because they were explaining how when they interacting with the Ouija board, they asked who's this, and Death is spelled out.
Yeah.
So people are saying that she's Death instead of Rio.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that character is such an enigma to me. Like, mm-hmm. the way that she reacts when things are happening, especially in this episode, there's a bunch of things happening, and she's kind of just like a bystander. She's just like observing what's happening, but she's not really engaging in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm kind of like, who are you?
Yeah.
And for some reason, she continues to defend Agatha a lot, mm-hmm. even though at the beginning, it seemed like she hated her.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of like trying to figure out who she is.
The one thing that's not in here, and for some reason my brain is not telling me the answer to this at the moment, where did she go at the end of this episode?
Rio?
Yeah, because she's kind of nowhere to be found at the end, and I don't remember where she went at all.
I don't think that we know.
Yeah, that's weird. Because, at the end, Alice is dead, and it's Agatha and Teen and Lilia and Jen, and mm-hmm. that's it.
Yes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I loved... Catherine Hahn was fun in the... Not just the possessed scenes, but, like, the scenes where she's not possessed, where, like, Evanora mm-hmm. is, like, you know, she's awful. She's, you know, a terrible, like, don't listen to her. And she's like, Mom, not in front of my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
That was very funny. I loved the Ouija board scene where they're reading out all the Ouija board stuff. And, of course, they did not disappoint on one of my favorite jokes, because they talk about... Like, don't do this. Like, don't do this mm-hmm. with the Ouija board. And then, like, the thing at the end is always, like, recommended ages, like, 5 to 14 or something. You know, whatever it is. Like, so funny. I thought that was great. There's a big hint to who Billy, you know, that they're obviously teasing at the end here that it's Billy Maximoff, mm-hmm. Wiccan. Mm-hmm. And the big giveaway to it in this is also his 80s aesthetic matches the costume he wore in one of the WandaVision episodes. Mm-hmm. Or Child Billy wore a costume very similar to that. So that was kind of a hint, a giveaway in there. What we do know about Rio is that she told Agatha the truth, that Teen is not her son. And that was honest. She wasn't lying about that. And mm-hmm. also we get a little bit of Nicholas Scratch in this too, because we hear his voice momentarily. Yeah. He's like, Mama, stop. Mm-hmm. when she's like pulling Alice's power from her. And to me, this was my favorite part of the episode, because like this particular scene, because I think it tells you something about Agatha that Agatha is reticent to tell anybody else. Mm-hmm, and I think mm-hmm. it ties all the way back to that scene we saw in WandaVision, which they've sort of hinted at here also, or shown pieces of, which is when she takes all of the power from her coven as mm-hmm. well. And like there's that scene, and I think we're just supposed to believe because she is so bad and seems to revel in being bad. But there's that scene where she's telling her mother, like, I can be good.
Right.
And right. I think you're just supposed to be meant to believe that she isn't, because she's lying. Mm-hmm. But when Alice expels Evanora from Agatha's body, and Agatha starts taking the power from her. There's this look on Agatha's face like she did not mean to do this.
Right, right.
And it's made very clear. Like, you can't miss it. It's very obvious. Like, I think, like, the catch with her is she can't control it. She can't, she can't control taking the power from somebody. It's just something that she does reflexively. And she doesn't mean to do it, but it just happens. And I think over time, Agatha became how she is now because she sort of felt like she had no choice but to, like, hey, if, you know, I'm just gonna, if this is what I am, then I'm just, you know, if you think
they're saying that she's evil because she's doing this, so she's just embracing
it. Yeah, if this is who you think I am, then that's who I'm gonna be or whatever. But I don't think that that's who she really is. And I think that there are moments of that where you get that, and she's, I think deep down, buried very deep down, she's a good person who never meant to do any of this. But because it kept happening and she couldn't stop it, like, it became who she is. And, like, I think it makes for, like, a really interesting redemption question, because this isn't something that, you know, this isn't something that happened to Agatha, like, 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. This happened to her hundreds of years ago. So can somebody come back from something they've been doing for that long?
Well, that makes me wonder if that's why she's on the witch's road.
Maybe.
Maybe she's trying to either have her power taken away or modify it, or maybe have her son come back. Because when we hear her son's voice saying, Mom, stop, it made me think, I am agreeing with everything you're saying, and I think that maybe, and maybe I'm wrong because I haven't read the comics, but I feel like Agatha maybe did something to her son, but accidentally.
Possibly. Well, I mean, they more or less confirm that she trades her son for the Darkhold, because they mention, like, that's a rumor. Like, I heard that she traded her son for the Darkhold. And then when they're in that one trial where they're all seeing hallucinating things, she sees a crib, but instead of a baby in it, the book is in it instead, which I think kind of confirms it. And part of me is now wondering that maybe that's the, maybe she doesn't even realize that that's the end game for her yet, but maybe that's what it is. She gave up her only son for this power, like the book, like the Darkhold. Maybe this is her chance to give up her power to get her son back.
Which
I think would be so great. But it's hard to say, because she's so like, this is the only time she's ever had, like, cracks of who she might really be appear. And, like, as soon as she realizes she does that, she puts her witchy face back on and is like, I'm evil, ha ha ha. So I feel like she's gotten so good at playing the role that it's who she became, but it's not who she is down, like, deep down underneath. But I thought this was just such an excellent episode, and the tease at the end basically gave away the answer to who Teen actually is, but they did it without saying it, and it became very obvious. And then weirdly enough, maybe it's because everybody figured it out very easily, before the next episode even aired, they put out, like, a couple of, you know, like, little teaser clips or whatever for, like, the next episode, like, on Instagram and TikTok and places like that. And, like, the first thing you hear is, like, Billy Maximoff. And I'm like, oh, I guess they gave up on, like, I guess they just assumed everybody knows. But they never, that, like, that's the first place you hear the name. Not, like, in the show. You hear it in, like, a promo for the show. But, yeah. Anyway, final thoughts on episode 5, and what would you give it?
I only have to say that Catherine Hands acting.
So good.
Impersonating Mrs. Hart was amazing.
Oh, that was, yeah. Or she was trying to avoid actually doing the thing. So she just made it up.
It was so good. I believed it.
Yeah, for a second, I'm like, oh, this is a little weird. What are they doing here? And then it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're like, Agatha, do it for real.
Oh, it was so spot on.
Yeah.
It was great. This episode was a 5 for me.
Yeah, it's a 5 for me as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Great episode. Okay. That leads us to episode 6, Familiar by Thy Side. And 95% of this episode, maybe like 98% of this episode, was flashback. So, In our flashbacks, we meet who the teen is. William Kaplan, a regular teenager from Eastview, New Jersey, who is celebrating his bar mitzvah when he encounters Lilia, one of our coven, although she's working as a palm reader at his bar mitzvah. For fun.
Which is weird, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of the Christian version of a bar mitzvah, maybe like a first communion or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
It's like, I went through some of those things and I never had a palm reader at any of those things. Maybe his parents seem less tied down.
To
the religious.
I mean, it's kind of cool, but
yeah,
it's kind of weird at the same time.
It's a little weird, but she senses something when reading his palm. She sees a pretty weird future, and reading on his palm that something she does not disclose. Lilia casts a sigil on William to protect him, but also instantly forgetting his identity as well. The party ends, and this is when we are told and shown that his bar mitzvah is also happening on the night that the hex begins to crumble. This is the night where the hex disappears, and they talk about the hex a few times in here, but they're driving past where Westview is when William's parents have a car accident. And everyone is fine except for William. He dies in the car crash. And at the same time he dies in the car crash, Billy Maximoff's soul enters William's body, awakening him. Like, so as the hex is closing, like, Bill, and this is so great because at the end of WandaVision, we don't see, Wanda and Vision put Billy and Tommy to bed, but then they go downstairs and we get their last moments with them together. So we don't see what happens with Billy and Tommy. So it's not like there's anything there that couldn't be explained. And we also know from WandaVision that Billy can read the minds of people that are even outside of the hex. Not just visions, but also like the soldiers for S.W.O.R.D. and stuff that were outside of the hex. He could read their minds as well. William is having trouble adjusting after the accident due to his newfound ability to read minds and his lack of memory of his life before. 3 years later, William and his boyfriend, Eddie, end up meeting Ralph Boner, or Randall Boner, if you will, who used to be controlled by Agatha inside Wanda's hex. He tells them about what happened there and about Wanda's twins, Billy and Tommy, making Billy realize who he actually is. Determined to use the Witch's Road to find Tommy, Billy goes to Agatha's, breaks Wanda's spell. In the present, Agatha escapes from the mud and confronts Billy. Realizing that the sigil has been destroyed, she deduces what his goal is and tells them that they must continue together since Billy cannot control his power. Lots of questions, too. Like, again,
lots of questions.
Like, where's Rio? Yes. And also, are Jen and Lilia dead? Did he kill them?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they didn't come out of the mud, so...
And I still feel like, and that this is where I'm having trouble, because the way that Agatha behaves, again, is so chaotic.
Yeah.
That I don't know everybody that has died so far. I still don't know if they're actually dead.
100%, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what's happening, because the way that she's reacting to things is as if, and again, we've talked about this before, she's the only one that has gone through the road before.
Yes.
So I feel like she does know something about dying in the road. And maybe that's why she's acting so, like, whatever. Yeah. Or maybe she's just actually evil. I don't know. But I think that, like I was saying before, you know, where's Rio? I feel like she's not, she's something else.
Yeah.
And maybe she has something to do also with the people dying in the road.
That's possible.
Yes. But I, it's, this whole episode was a huge question mark for me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where this is going. Yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed this. I thought this was like a really fun episode. I mean, I have questions, but not like I'm confused.
It's right,
like,
right, right.
I want to know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
I thought the Ralph Boner cameo thing in here, I thought that was great.
Yeah, like I love that Billy found him on Reddit.
Yeah, he's like, are you Boner guy 469 or whatever, 42069? I'm like, that's, of course that would be his name. I loved all of that. I loved the, like the process of trying to find out the answers. Like I loved learning that to the public, the Hex was like an Avengers training mission gone wrong or something. Yeah. Like that's the thing that the government said, like, oh, there's an Avengers mishap or something like that. So they don't even really realize the full extent of what's going on. And they explain away like the reason why, you know, like Ralph left his house because like Agatha is like still under Wanda's spell. But it's like, she's crazy. I just like, I left that place. Like she can have it or whatever. So they explain away like little things like that. I liked his, you know, trying to research Agatha and figure out what she can about her. And like, that's how he finds out information about like how she survived the Witch's Road. And that's how he starts learning about that. And, you know, so it makes sense when, you know, he's like, I know so much about you.
Right. Because he's been
like reading everything he can find on the internet or whatever. And all of that stuff is great. And then you get to see the events, or you get to see pieces of the first episode, but from outside of Agatha's perspective, which is really funny. Cause like it basically,
it was amazing.
It basically just takes place in her house the whole time.
Yes.
She never leaves or goes anywhere. Maybe like out into her yard or something. Like the crime scene photos were like pictures of flower beds and stuff like that. But like her firearm is just like a hose nozzle, like in a makeshift, like in a makeshift holster that she made. And she just walks around the house, like talking to herself, like she's in a TV show. Which is bonkers. And that whole scene, which seemed so exciting in the first episode, is now almost funny because
it was super funny.
Yeah, because he's like, he's just a kid or whatever. And he's like, oh, don't call the police. He's like, I can't afford to have this on my record. You know, and he's like trying to run away. He falls and he's like, ow. Like it's not as like badass and cool it seemed in her brain. All of that stuff I thought was really cool. And then
That was amazing. I love the scene where she's like, do you want to continue poking the bear? It's so uncomfortable.
And he's just like, this is really weird, but okay.
But there's that moment where he's like, I mean, you know, this whole like cop persona that you have, I love this for you, but this is not who you are.
It seems to really suit you, but like, you know, this isn't who you really are. So that's that was all fun. I love and this was a longer episode than the rest. They spent most of the time telling the Billy backstory and making it make sense. And his goal, he never explicitly said what his goal is. Agatha kind of deduced it in the sense that she thinks that he's, you know, oh, he's not looking for mom because, you know, moms would rather sacrifice us to save a bunch of people that she doesn't even know or whatever. Like she's looking, you're looking for your brother, which he is. He's like, he knows Tommy is out there.
Yeah.
He says he can sense him out there. But he can't quite figure out where he is. So,
so if we are under the assumption that Wanda is alive, then
because I don't think she's dead.
Yeah, I mean, neither. So if we go with that assumption, then why can't Billy sense her?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe
because he can sense Tommy. He said that he can sense him somewhere.
Yeah.
Unless Agatha, not Agatha, unless Wanda is still doing some sort of spell to make them believe that she's dead. I don't know.
I mean, it's entirely possible that they just have this link because of the way that they were, like, they were created in the Hex. Maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
They
yeah.
just have that link to each other and he can sense that, but he can't sense her. Or maybe he has limits to how far he can, like, to where that sensing takes him, or like how far away. Like, technically, if Wanda's still alive, it's, I don't know where Mount Wundagore is, but it's pretty far away from New Jersey, I think.
I would think so, yes.
I'm not 100% certain where it's located, but I'm guessing like somewhere in like the Asian continent or something. So maybe he can't sense her from like that far away. But all this has me thinking now, if they're going to be alive, and I'm positive Wanda's not dead. Like, you have to see somebody dead for you to, like, know that they're dead. Vision is out there. To me, all this tells me is, like, we're going to get, at some point, we're going to get a reunion between them. Like, there's going to be a family reunion or something. Which I am very excited about. Although it may be awkward. Like, who knows? But I mean, that's something I don't think Wanda ever expected. I'm sure people would be like, how come Wanda didn't know? I'm sure that would be a question. Like, how come Wanda didn't know her son was like in another body somewhere? And
yeah, it's just weird. And I'm also like, I have questions also about, so what's her name? Alilia. She's the one that creates the sigil.
Yes.
Why?
I think so. She created it because I think it's hinted at that because of like whatever she read on his palm, like she created the sigil to protect him from others because of whatever she read on the palm. But she never said what she read.
Right. Like that's another question mark for me. And I also, maybe I'm confused about this, but in this episode, we see Alice as one of the cops that respond to the accident.
Oh, right.
But when we are in Agatha's version of this, you know, makeshift universe, Alice is working at a record store or something. She was working at a store at the mall.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right? So when I saw her be one of the cops that responds to the accident, I was like, wait, what? So either both of those realities are fake. Or I don't know.
I'm not 100% certain.
I was so confused by that. I was like, wait. And we know that the way that Agatha was perceiving that reality was different than the way that other people were perceiving it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. But I was kind of confused about that.
Yeah. I don't know. That is weird.
Because the other one, Jennifer, she was still the person that we knew. She was still selling the whatever beauty creams and stuff. Because we see like an ad of hers in YouTube or something. So she was the same. But yeah, that was weird and interesting.
Definitely weird.
At the same time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are left with a lot of questions, but also three episodes left for answers. As well. I have no idea, by the way, now that we're caught up. I don't know if we're just going to go one episode. Are we just going to go one episode at a time now that we're caught up? Or what are we doing? I don't remember.
I'm fine either way.
Okay, I guess we're just going to do one episode at a time now that we're caught up.
Sure.
Why not, everybody? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what would you give episode 6?
I gave this one 4.5. I loved it, but I loved the previous one more.
Yeah, I gave this 4.5 as well. Mm-hmm. On the same page. Yes. Okay, well, we will see how those pages continue to bore out. We have 3 episodes remaining, and I cannot wait to see how the road ends. But we must wait. It will not end until October 30th. So... Mm-hmm. In the meantime, everybody, head on over to cinemageekly.com, where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, this is a listener-supported podcast, and there are some ways you can help out there if you'd like. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly, and we have our merch store, geeklymerch.com. Links for those are in the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Pocket Casts, anywhere you can find a good podcast. Just search for Podcasters of S.H.I.E.L.D., hit subscribe, and that way you can join us next time, where we will talk about Episode 7 of Agatha All Along on Disney Plus. Follow me, my friend, to glory at the end.